It's The Current's Music News, the daily podcast where we tell you what you need to know about what's going on in the music world. Today is Friday, February 8th, and we have a special Grammys preview episode for you. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade. And coming up a little bit later, we're going to check in with Joni Deutsch. She's the host of the Amplifier podcast of Charlotte Public Radio Station, WFAE. And she's going to be telling us a lot about North Carolina's Music Hall of Fame and some of the Grammy-related artists that are celebrated there.
But first, welcome Mac Wilson, who's joining us to talk all about this year's Grammys. Thanks for joining us, Mac.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Jay. Yeah, the Grammys have sort of become my thing here at The Current over the last several years, so I'm happy to join you today.
So you've been following the Grammys pretty closely for many years, I would say, with some of the avidness that people devote to baseball stats.
Yeah, I do kind of follow it the way that I would with sports. And I don't know what that says about the gamification of the music industry, but that's sort of the level of devotion I would give to it. I would say that that's accurate.
And so maybe the first thing to talk about is the fact that this year the game is changing a little bit. The way artists are nominated and the number of artists nominated in some key categories is changing.
Right. This is really interesting because the major fields, which are Record of the Year, Album of the Year, Song of the Year, and Best New Artist, have expanded to 8 nominees rather than 5 in the past. And it's not done like it is at the Academy Awards, where the Academy Awards expanded their Best Picture field a couple of years back from 5 to anywhere between 5 and 10 nominees for Best Picture. Now, the Oscars have a ranked choice balloting system, which means that every voter for Best Picture, they need to take each nominee and rank them from 1 to, say, 9 or 8 or however many are nominated in that category. And then using the ranked choice balloting, they are able to determine a winner from there. To the best of my knowledge, that's not the case with the Grammys. So rather than splitting these votes amongst 5 nominees, they're split among 8 nominees. So we could see some real interesting results in the top 4, I'd argue.
Do you think there could ever be a tie now that you've kind of explained the situation? It feels like that opens the floor to a lot of sort of sticky situations.
I would say it's possible that there could be a tie. Each one of these records or albums, they're each going to have their own fan base built in. So even if all of them get 10% of the vote, that's 80% of the vote. So these very small numbers could be determining the ultimate results. And we don't know how that's going to shake out. It could be that the favorites win as they usually tend to do, or we could get some really, I keep saying interesting, but things could get really interesting on Grammy night.
So what are you most watching for? What are the biggest questions in your mind regarding how things are going to shake out?
Well, one of the spots I'm watching is Album of the Year. That's always one of the most interesting categories, one of the showcase spots given out usually at the end of the night. See if Kendrick Lamar can finally win a Grammy for Album of the Year. He's 0-for-3 in this category, despite being arguably the most critically acclaimed artist of the last 10 years or so. He's 0-for-3 so far, and he's nominated as the featured artist and curator and producer of the Black Panther soundtrack, which has earned him an Academy Award nomination. He's got a whole bunch of nominations across the board, but maybe this will be the one to bring him home that Grammy for Album of the Year. We've got 2 terrific female country artists whom we've been playing on The Current, Brandi Carlile and Kacey Musgraves. And each of those artists has their own very, very intense block of support. We'll see if one of them will carry out a win in the end or whether they'll cancel each other out as these things tend to shake out. And then Janelle Monáe, her only nomination is for Album of the Year. She found out that she was nominated live on the announcement show on CBS.
This album is so much bigger than me. You know, it's not. I'm sorry. It's not about me. It's about a community of dirty computers, of marginalized voices. Being a young Black queer woman in America, there was something I had to say, and there was a group of people that I wanted to celebrate. And I'm happy to be representing them. I hope they feel seen. I hope they feel heard. I hope they feel loved, and I hope they feel celebrated.
You're feeling all that
for you.
Feeling all that this morning and celebrating with you. Congratulations
to you.
We got to see her reaction to that live. That was very, very cool. She's nominated for Dirty Computer, very deservedly so, for Album of the Year, and she's in the mix as well. And like I said, we go beyond the five nominees. So Post Malone is nominated. Her, Drake, a perennial favorite in Album of the Year, is a huge selling artist, and Cardi B as well.
And I suppose we'll be watching to see if Drake even goes to the ceremony this year, because he hasn't shown up the last couple of years.
That's right. He's making sort of a point of not showing up, if I'm remembering correctly, due to what he perceives as the unfair treatment of many musicians in the spotlight categories.
Yeah, but this year he actually offered his music up. This was the first year where he sent in his music to be evaluated by the Grammys. Yeah.
I've been moving calm, don't start no trouble with me. Trying to keep it peaceful is a struggle for me.
So it's kind of taking on an entirely different perspective. And I think for that reason alone, it might be the year that he actually shows up.
Yes, I see the things that they wishing on me.
Do you think the same artist will sweep the board in the top categories? Or do you think they'll be split up among different artists?
As I've said, it could get interesting. Last year, nobody would have guessed that Bruno Mars would do exactly that. Of all people, for Bruno Mars to do that, but he wound up winning Record of the Year, Song of the Year, and Album of the Year, and nobody would have predicted that. So it's easy for me to say yes, and it's easy for me to say no. If anybody is going to sweep the top categories, it would honestly probably be Brandi Carlile. She's got a shot for Album of the Year, and then she's nominated for Record of the Year and Song of the Year for The Joke. So if anybody is going to do it, it could be her, but it could be that Kendrick Lamar and SZA, they're nominated for Record and Song of the Year for All the Stars, and then the Black Panther soundtrack too, so that it could shake out that way. I mean, it's possible that that Drake, he's still nominated for Song and Record of the Year as well, and then for Album of the Year. And then there's some other artists who have a good shot at pulling off the Record and Song of the Year sweep.
What about some of the other categories that are a little bit down from the top big marquee categories? Any interesting races out there?
Well, here at The Current, we would probably take a look at the Best Alternative Music Album, and it's Arctic Monkeys for Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino. We've got Beck nominated. He's won this award several times in the past. St. Vincent, she won this for her self-titled album a couple of years ago. She's back for Mass Seduction. The legendary David Byrne for American Utopia, and Utopia from Bjork. And Bjork, trying to avoid setting Grammy history, Bjork has been nominated 15 times without ever winning one. She's the fourth most nominated artists who have never won, behind only Snoop Dogg and Brian McKnight and Morten Lindberg.
Now that's a super group.
I mean, we're at the point now where Snoop Dogg and Brian McKnight, they're the answer to a trivia question: who's lost the most time at the Grammys without ever having won one? It's almost not fair for Bjork to be on the list, but that's where she is now. Maybe she's got a shot at it. The alternative music category usually goes to somebody who either has name saturation or has won in the past. So I'd say that keep an eye on St. Vincent or Beck. Maybe Arctic Monkeys will break through and win it this year. It was well with you. Four stars
out of five. Let's look at Best New Artist. We've got Chloe and Halle, Luke Combs, Greta Van Fleet, Her, Dua Lipa, Margot Price, Bebe Rexha, and Georgia Smith are all up for that award this year.
And Her has dominated the top of the categories, and I would say that Her, the recording project of Gabby Wilson, no relation, 21 years old, and she could very well be named Best New Artist. And who knows, she has enough industry support, she could pull off an upset for Album of the Year as well.
Baby, can you focus on me?
And she would certainly be the answer to that controversy regarding whether you can really qualify as a new artist when you've been around for a few years, because she seems like she's just come out of nowhere this year for a lot of people who are watching the Grammys.
Yeah, indeed. And I'm looking forward to seeing her perform on Sunday night as well.
Any other aspects of the telecast you're looking forward to? Performances, presenters?
I think the Dua Lipa and St. Vincent collaboration is going to be very, very cool.
And Alicia Keys hosting.
Of course.
She certainly looks like she's having a really good time in the promos for the ceremony.
All right, this year I'm hosting the Grammys, and I need us to all come together as one, okay? So Gaga, I'm going to need your support. And Janelle, I know you can step up to the plate. And Cardi, I see you, okay? All right, guys. Let's do this.
So I expect great things from her. No pressure. Not that she would care what I expect, but no pressure, Alicia Keys. Just rock it.
Just be yourself.
Just be you.
I think that she has the potential to do a really good job. After all the hubbub we've had about the Oscars, who are ultimately going to go without a host, Alicia Keys has a shot at this, and I think she'll do a great job.
Coming up, we'll talk about Grammy predictions and snubs. But before then, we'll dive a little deeper into some of this year's Grammy honorees.
This year, the Recording Academy will recognize the work of three artists, Nina Simone, Link Wray, and George Clinton. Something all three of these artists share is that they are all from North Carolina. In fact, they're all inductees of the North Carolina Music Hall of Fame. To provide more context, we checked in with Joni Deutsch, host of the Amplifier podcast. She interviewed Adrian Stallings and Veronica Cordell of North Carolina Music Hall of Fame, specifically for this podcast. Here's their conversation.
So the North Carolina Music Hall of Fame opened in 2008 with the primary purpose of recognizing, promoting, and commemorating the musical heritage of the Tar Heel State. And what a heritage. From Chapel Hill's James Taylor to Charlotte's Anthony Hamilton and Fantasia Barrino, Durham's Sylvan Esso to Morganton's Etta Baker, the list of musical talent just keeps growing, past, present, and future in North Carolina. Can you introduce yourselves and what you do?
My name is Adrian Stallings, and I am the administrative assistant at the North Carolina Music Hall of Fame. I also do social media.
My name is Veronica Cordell, and I'm the executive director at the North Carolina Music Hall of Fame. When visitors come in, first of all, we give them an overall kind of history of what our organization has done over the years and what we're doing now, a little bit about our induction event, because that's the primary purpose of the Hall of Fame. And then we continue to take them around the corner from the front door, and then it opens up into our display space, and they're just blown away. We have about 50 to 60 exhibits right now, and each one of those has clothing pieces, albums, awards, signed pieces. It's just a very cool, eclectic collection of each one of the artists that we induct.
So I guess if you were to whittle it down to a few words or a sentence, what does North Carolina music mean to you? What is like the first word or the first phrase that pops into mind?
When I think of North Carolina music, the first thing I think of is this is the story of my life, because a lot of the roots music from North Carolina is telling the stories of their life.
The first word that I think about is diversity. There's not really that much of a correlation, whether or not if you live in the mountain region, the Piedmont, or the coastal region. You get the stereotypical sense that if someone that's from the mountain area, they will more than likely play bluegrass or country. That's not necessarily the case. Or someone from the coastal area, they may play beach music. That's not necessarily the case. You could be from Tryon, North Carolina, with the case with Nina Simone, and play jazz and soul.
The 2019 Grammys are recognizing the work of three North Carolina artists, Nina Simone, Link Wray, and George Clinton. Simone's 1970 single, To Be Young, Gifted in Black, and Link Wray's 1958 instrumental, Rumble, are among the 25 recordings inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame this year. And Clinton, meanwhile, will receive a Lifetime Achievement Award. Something all three of these artists share is they are already members of the North Carolina Music Hall of Fame. What can you share about each of them with respect to the museum?
Well, we right now have exhibits up for all three of those. We have Nina on exhibit with an outfit, a few albums behind her. George Clinton, we have actually is just wall pieces for him. We were in hopes that we could get in touch with him or family or friends or somebody to get some of those crazy looking outfits that he wears on stage, which would be a very cool addition to the museum. And then Link Wray, we had a pretty large exhibit for him as well. And the family actually came in, and it's on whatever terms that the family decides to put exhibit pieces up. So in their case, Dunn, North Carolina, is creating a tiny museum out there for Link Wray, and they came and got a few of the pieces that we had here to put out there. So his exhibit shrunk down a little bit, but we still have a really nice display for him.
What can you tell me about when they were inducted and also why they were inducted into the North Carolina Music Hall of Fame?
Well, we induct individuals and bands based on their contribution to American music and their connection to North Carolina, of course. We inducted both George Clinton and Nina Simone in 2009, and then Link Wray was inducted in 2014. His grandson put together a tribute band, and they did Rumble for him on stage, which was amazing.
What were their contributions to the North Carolina music scene for them to be inducted?
I would say that with Nina, especially recently with the home that was turned into a museum for Nina Simone, that was a major accomplishment and kind of a spotlight for Nina. With Link Wray, a lot of people didn't realize that he was from North Carolina. And hopefully with all these things that are going on to recognize Link Wray, like him being inducted into the Hall of Fame and getting recognitions like with the Grammy Hall of Fame, hopefully that puts more of a spotlight on North Carolina.
What's your reaction to these Grammy recognitions, knowing that years ago they were inducted into the North Carolina Music Hall of Fame?
I think it makes us very proud. I think it makes North Carolina proud. And like I said, it just puts a spotlight on North Carolina and the talent that comes from here. And it also probably makes people wonder, you know, what's about North Carolina that all these artists are popping up all of a sudden with a connection to North Carolina?
When you think about the state of North Carolina, many people usually think about college basketball or NASCAR, even barbecue with the Lexington area. So music statewide is usually basically on the back burner. And so when you have so many artists that are gaining national attention, such as the Avett Brothers, such as Anthony Hamilton, such as Fantasia, and it doesn't matter how they achieve their fame, whether if it's on a music competition such as American Idol, or maybe, you know, in the case of Anthony, appearing on Chappelle's Show or singing in front of President Obama, it adds another sense of pride knowing that we're not just known for sports. In one sense, we're also known for the arts.
Nina Simone was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame just last year, in 2018, the same year as the enshrining of her birthplace in Tryon, North Carolina, as a national treasure by the National Trust for Historic Preservation. Simone was inducted into your museum years ago, in 2009. So how often has it been that you all have been ahead of the curve when it comes to recognition of these artists?
I would say that it just happens. We, of course, you don't plan it, but in some cases it has happened that we've been a little bit ahead of the curve with it. For example, with Nina, I know like when we inducted Eric Church that year, he was nominated for a CMA Entertainer of the Year award. And then with Fantasia, of course, that next year she went on to do some big things with the BET Honors and then touring with Anthony Hamilton. So I don't know. I guess we just have a good selection committee.
How often have you all been ahead of the curve in recognizing these North Carolina artists? Do you think that's more often than not the case?
Yeah, more than likely. Yeah, it's like once we induct someone, something comes along with them. For example, like in 2016 with the Avett Brothers, we had no idea that they were cutting a new album. And then that summer, prior to them being inducted, they released True Sadness.
True Sadness. True Sadness.
Why does it matter to have a North Carolina Music Hall of Fame? Because in the broader sense, there are these national ceremonies that recognize them. So why have it on a local level?
I would say whenever we induct a lot of these people on stage, a lot of them say, I've been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I've been honored by the Grammys. I've gotten this award, that award. But they always say, there's nothing like being recognized by the place that you come from. There's nothing like it.
Thank you all for coming into the studio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joni. Joni Deutsch is the host of WFAE's Amplifier, a podcast that's all about the music scene in and around Charlotte, North Carolina. You can find Amplifier at wfae.org/amplifier or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with Mac Wilson. So we've talked about a lot of artists so far. Who haven't we talked about yet that you think is going to be in the headlines Monday morning?
Well, we haven't even said the name Childish Gambino yet, but nominated for Record of the Year and Song of the Year. And currently the front runner, the odds makers have This Is America as the favorite to win both Record of the Year and Song of the Year. So I think that that's one that we'll be talking about on Monday morning.
This is America. Don't got you slipping up. Look how I'm living up. Police be tripping up.
Some of the other categories are a little bit less predictable, but I think he at least has an edge in both of those fields.
That seems like a song that really shows how the music industry is changing, because this is not a radio hit. It was a viral video hit, widely talked about, but it sort of functions as a song in a very different way than a lot of Grammy-winning songs traditionally have.
And it was a single. It wasn't on an album. It was just a song that he threw out when he was appearing on Saturday Night Live.
Ladies and gentlemen,
indeed. And it feels like it captured the zeitgeist of 2018. It was the Current's number one song of 2018. And we'll see if that translates on Grammy night. But, you know, there's, as we've seen in the past, there's not necessarily a correlation between Grammy success and other success. I mean, Kendrick Lamar won a Pulitzer Prize for the Damn album, and it wasn't enough to get him past Bruno Mars at the Grammys. That probably says something about the Grammys. It says probably a lot.
So it seems like with all the rule tweaks and the trying to exchange and expand the voting roles, the Grammys are trying to solve this problem that other big awards like the Academy Awards are trying to solve, where you're increasing the diversity and the inclusiveness and the representation of what's relevant in that art field, but also while keeping that institutional heft that corresponds to your history. Do you think the Recording Academy is making real progress at that with these nominations?
It would appear so. The nominees for Record of the Year and Album of the Year, they're across the board on the genre spectrum, and it would appear so from the nominations. We'll see how that pans out, but I think they're off to a good start.
Mac, are there any artists that you think were snubbed this year or you felt had a good shot of winning a Grammy but were never nominated?
If I was pressed to name one, I was holding out hope that Mitski would be nominated for Best Alternative Music Album for her record, Be the Cowboy. There were some folks on Twitter who were basically mounting a campaign to get her nominated one way or the other. Did not get nominated for that. But Be the Cowboy is nominated, made it into the Best Recording Package category for the art direction on that record. That's an award that Father John Misty won last year. So keeping my fingers crossed that Be the Cowboy would win for something. That's what it's nominated for. So I guess that's what I'm holding out for. Then just down the category, Carson Ellis nominated for the limited edition box package of the Decemberists' I'll Be Your Girl. So even in the artwork category, there's a lot to watch.
I guess that's the other tension around the Grammys, is this tension between the huge selling artists, the really big names, and the artists who don't have such wide name recognition, but who are really critically acclaimed, like Mitski.
Indeed. And sometimes you'll find these artists nominated against each other, especially down in the really specialized categories like Best Americana Album, where you'll get heavy hitters like Brandi Carlile and John Prine up against the Wood Brothers and Leanne Womack. They're able to coexist in these categories, and sometimes voters toss us a curveball. Hey, get this. Anderson East is nominated for Best American Roots Performance for the song All On My Mind.
It's all on my mind. Feel something when I kiss you goodnight.
I mean, he's nominated alongside Brandi Carlile and Willie Nelson. I mean, John Prine is nominated for Best American Roots Song. When you listen to that Anderson East song, does that scream American Roots to you?
That's probably not the category I would initially put it in. But that's kind of the Grammys, too, is that it is this world where in 2019, where there's not really genres anymore, where these categories are sort of slowly melting together. Trying to pigeonhole albums into these very specific genres is starting to become, like, to steal a word from Mac, interesting.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of momentum behind genres like Americana or roots that are more inclusive than what we call country music now. It's really hard for country radio apparently to become much more diverse or to play women, but the Americana and roots categories seem not to have as much of a problem with that.
And meanwhile, up in the rock category, it's an all-boys club, the rock category. For best rock album, it's Alice in Chains, Fall Out Boy, Ghost, Greta Van Fleet for their EP, and Weezer for Pacific Daydream.
It's a little embarrassing, especially in a year when there was so much talk around the amazing albums being made by women rock artists.
And then last year for Best Rock Album, The War on Drugs won. So really, go figure.
Well, thanks, Mac. We'll be excited to see what goes down on Sunday night. I know you'll be watching and probably doing some tweeting, right?
Yeah, I'll be perched in front of my TV, probably tweeting along more than I should be. But you'll definitely be able to follow along with the current team, tweeting along and following Grammy night.
How do you pronounce your Twitter handle, Mac?
I think it's Cenotite, but everybody else calls it Cenotite. So I've given it up to the world. You can pronounce it however you want, but it's Cinatyte.
Jade is the name. I'm at Jaygabler. And then, of course, at The Current, we'll be trying to keep up with everything going on Sunday night. Well, thanks, Mac.
Oh, thank you for having me in, Jay and Jade. It was really fun. We'll see what happens on Sunday night.
Our producer for this special episode is Luke Taylor. Thanks to Joni Deutsch, Adrian Stallings, Veronica Cordell, and our colleague Mac Wilson for helping us out with Grammys coverage this year. Enjoy your Grammys weekend, everybody, and we'll be back Monday with a breakdown of what happened.